I thought Brother Jim was going to say, "You know me by my laugh." Welcome, everyone, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yesterday, I was considering this sermon and what God had placed on my heart, and he had placed on the subject of faith on my heart. And I thought, I wonder if God's led Brother Alvin to preach on the same subject. And sure enough, Brother Alvin said this morning, God changed his sermon to the subject of faith. And so as we went through it, he really didn't take any of my scriptures that God had given me. I don't think any of them are the same. And we're coming at it from different aspects. But I'm going to preach on faith. What is faith? From Strong's Lexicon, it is the conviction of the truth of anything. Of course, we know that the author of truth is our God. It's a belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, things of God. Generally, with the included idea of trust. And I want us to, when we consider that word faith, if we would think about that it's belief, and with that belief in God, trust in Him. It's belief with trust. And so, I want to also go to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, for that definition of faith that we're familiar with. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I also looked that up in Strong's. And that word substance means foundation, means something real. So if we say now faith is the foundation or what we stand on, of things hoped for, the evidence, it's there, it's real, of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is." That's the very basic. That faith is, as our brother Jim mentioned, very basic to the doctrine of Christ. We must believe that he is. And that starts from the very beginning, from Genesis. We often hear our brother Glenn preach about creation. In the Old Testament, when Moses was called of God from the burning bush, and he was sent back to Egypt to witness to his brethren, he was worried. He was worried what their reaction would be, and he asked, "Who should I tell them sent me?" And God said, I am. Tell them I am sent to you. He said, I am that I am. And we must believe that he is. So, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if we truly, truly believe that he is, believe that we have a creator, that he has a plan for us, we should diligently seek him for that plan, to fulfill that purpose that he has for us. Faith relative to salvation. In the third book of Nephi, chapter 3, verses 32 through 35, if you have your Bible and Book of Mormon, please follow along. Please get it out. Third book of Nephi, chapter 3, verses 32 through 35. First book, and that's wrong. Should be third book of Nephi, chapter 5. I'm thinking, yes. Third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verses 32 through 35. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is Christ speaking. To the people on this land. And doctrine means teaching. This is his teaching. And it's regarding salvation. And he'll explain to us that it was given to him by his Father. It says, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine. And it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father. And the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me, and I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. That word repent means a reversal, a change in way of thinking. And so, by nature, we know we are enemies of God. And our thinking is evil by our very nature. But God calls us to repent, to turn from our way of thinking and turn to God. And that's repent. And then it says, believe in me, Christ said. So we're to believe in him, to know that he is. Verse 34, and whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's the promise to those who believe in him and are baptized. That's the promise of salvation. Verse 35, and whoso believeth not in me, there's the very basic. The whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Same doctrine in Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. And this is after the resurrection of Christ in Jerusalem, or Christ appeared to the 12 or to the 11. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with what? With their unbelief. I can imagine that if he upbraided them with their unbelief, how quickly he would upbraid me for my unbelief at times. It says, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen them after he was risen. So Mary Magdalene had seen him, and others, and they didn't believe. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that word gospel is good tidings, good news. And what good news salvation is, and what joy it should be in sharing it with the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The gospel of Christ, as expressed by him in Third Book of Nephi, chapter 12, please turn there with me, beginning in verse 25. And Christ speaks of this gospel after his disciples had been fasting and praying. They had been baptizing, and everyone they baptized became members of the church, became a part of the Church of Christ, those who were baptized. And but then they started wondering what they should call the name of their church, right after it says that in the Book of Mormon, in this chapter. And so they fasted and prayed and asked for God's answer. And he did. He answered. He upbraided them for not reading the scriptures, but and told them that they should call everything they do after his name. And they should call the name of the church after his name. And that it was his church if it was built upon his gospel and called after his name. So what is that gospel? Well, it's found, he later declares it in verse 25. Behold, I give unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I had been lifted up on the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. So he's speaking of that resurrection and that at that time when we'll be judged, all of us, according to our works. And that happened because Christ was resurrected. We will all be resurrected to be judged according to our works. Verse 29, "And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men." And so those of us who have made a covenant with Christ, and we've witnessed it by being baptized, those of us who believed in his word, we have to stay believing. We have to continue in faith. We have to believe this word. And those other witnesses who said that the very spirit that possesses us at the time we leave this life is the spirit that possesses us for eternity. We have to believe those words and continue finding joy in the good tidings of salvation. And part of that is what we read in the previous chapter in Mark, taking that gospel to others. Excuse me. I hit a wrong button. Okay. Verse 31, "And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom." I'm going to go back to... I'm sorry, I think I skipped a verse. I'm going to go back to 29. "And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not." And Christ is speaking of the Father here. He lieth not. His words are true, and we should believe them. "But fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith." So it requires that we have faith, that we first of all believe that his merits are sufficient, that Christ's willingness to offer himself up, his own will, to the will of the Father, to offer himself up a sacrifice, that sacrifice was pure, and that love can be an acting love within us, and that it can cause us to do works that we can't do by our very nature. And so when our garments are cleansed by his blood, we are a new creature. And this says, because of our faith and the repentance of all of our sins, the turning from all of our sins, and their faithfulness unto the end, our faithfulness, that I looked, I could only find one faithfulness in the Bible that wasn't talking about the faithfulness of God, and it was actually saying because somebody didn't have faithfulness. But that word faithfulness in Strong's means a firmness. And we find that in the Book of Mormon. Often they speak of a firmness unshaken. And so we should have that firmness, that steadiness, that we are going to, no matter what doubts the devil sends our way, we're going to remain firm on God's word, knowing that he lies not. And so, I'm going to reread that 32. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. The good works of grace is what I've titled this next section, God's love toward us. I love this scripture in Ephesians. And oftentimes when it's quoted, only verses 8 and 9 are quoted. Oftentimes when I hear it quoted outside of the Church of Christ, there are occasions I've heard 10 and I'm saying, yes, thank you. But because 10 shows us what that fruit of the grace of God working in our lives is. So starting out in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Mercy, the love of God, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And we just read about that grace, our garments being cleansed, washed by his blood. But verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So this word that we've been talking about this evening and this morning, faith, it is a gift of God. If you feel like you don't have it or you're weak in faith, go to God and ask him for it. So, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then here's this verse 10. What this love of God through faith in him does in our lives. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what we just read about, the judgment of God at the last day when he judges us, whether our works are good or evil, that's the evidence of whether we had faith in him. Whether we had so much faith in him that we wanted to keep his commandments and be baptized in his name, as he said and according to his word. Whether we were faithful until the end. We remained standing on his word with a firmness unshaken. Whether we lived with that love that he first loved us with. Whether that love caused us to love him and love our neighbors as ourselves. The evidence is those works, because that's what he's ordained us to if we have faith in him. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? I find it interesting that it says, though a man say he hath faith. The implication to me is that, as we just read in Ephesians, that faith in him, in his word, and in him produces those good works. So this is said, this says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, if it hath not works, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? So he was obedient to God, and he trusted God. He believed in God. He trusted God. He obeyed God with the unthinkable. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received messengers and had sent them out another way? So Rahab herself risked her life and the life of her family by housing those messengers when, was it Jericho? I can't remember. Is that where Rahab was? Was it Jericho? I thought so. when the spies went to spy out Jericho, and she housed those messengers, and she believed God, and she was protected and saved, and her household were saved because of it. She had faith, so she risked her life to serve God. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Examples of those who by faith obtained a good report. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 says, well, I'm going to read 1 and 2 again. We read 1 earlier, but it goes right into this. Now, faith is the substance, the foundation, the firmness, the real thing, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. We just read about how Rahab had, by her faith in God, obtained a good report. The kids and I were reading in Philippians chapter 4 about the things we're supposed to think on. Think on things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are true. And one of them is talks about a good report. And so I asked the kids, what's a good report? And one of the kids answered, well, if we do good and we do what's right, then we'll get a good report card. And so I thought, what a good analogy. That because when we think of what Abraham did, and he did what was right, even though it didn't seem right, he trusted his God, and he was obedient to him, and good came of it. But he obtained a good report. Throughout history, throughout the Bible, there was a good report of him. And so this chapter 11 talks about different of the elders who obtained a good report. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And Noah, you think about him, and he suffered the mocking of the people of his time. They didn't believe, and Noah did. And by faith, he did something. By his belief and trust in God, he obeyed. And because of it, his household was saved. Here's in verse 8 once again, Abraham. For by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He risked. Once again, but by faith he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Sarah also obtained a good report by faith. It says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is in the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. They hadn't already received the promise of Christ like you and I have. We have record of multiple people that the promise came. And the promise of his coming was fulfilled, and his sacrifice was complete, and his resurrection sure. But they, not having seen it, yet believed. Going down to verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Back to 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. Why? Because the people of Israel went around. They believed. If they sounded the trumpets, I think was what they were told to do. And those 7 days, they went around the city. I'm trying to remember if it was in Brother Alvin's sermon this morning or Sean's teaching this afternoon. I think it was in Sean's teaching this afternoon. I didn't get it written down, but a similar situation occurred where they were told to. They were told to sing aloud. Israel was told to sing aloud, and their enemies fell dead in confusion. But they did something that was so strange, and they could be mocked. There was always risk involved, risk of life, risk of someone looking down at you. But by faith, they obtained a good report. Sean, in our class today, Young People's was at 1:30, and he did a study on fasting. And he talked about how it's important to believe, to have faith in God when you fast. And he talked about Jonah chapter 3. And in that chapter, Jonah finally prophesies to Nineveh, and they believed, they repented, they put on sackcloth, and they even caused their animals to be in a fasting nature, and they believed so much they wanted to do everything right on their repentance. They repented and believed, and great things happened. God forgave them. And our brother Alvin gave us another example today in the 2,000 stripling soldiers. I think about them and their parents. They really had respect for their fathers and their mothers. It says that they made that covenant to take up arms to protect their fathers. And they believed what their mothers had taught them. And I think about their faith, and you see, they witnessed, and they heard all the stories about, you know, how their parents had buried their weapons because they didn't want any way to manchar, to make spotted. I'm sorry, I'm thinking in Spanish. To stain, that's the word. Stain their garments that Christ had cleansed. And so they were not willing to even be tempted by having their weapons to kill. And what faith that witnessed to their children. It's no wonder that they believed in their God, that God was with them. They'd known about God being with them, their parents, even though some were martyred. Some of the Lamanites were martyred. They heard about the effect that had on the other Lamanites. And we need to be witnessing that kind of faith to our children. We need to be, by our works, by the things we choose to do, by our obedience to God, we need to be witnessing to them that God lives and that he's powerful and that he brings hope and salvation. After this Hebrews chapter 11, this listing of all these people, I'm going to start actually in 39 of 11. It says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all these people who by faith obtained a good report, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And that reminds me of Moroni chapter 6, when it talks about baptism. It says in verse 5, "And their names were taken," those who are baptized, "their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ." That's faith in him, who was the author and the finisher of their faith. So back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so if you've been chastened by his word tonight, that you need to walk in faith and that you need to be obedient to his word, that you need to believe and rely alone upon his merits, that you need to be an example of faith in your children's lives, in your neighbors' lives, in your co-workers' lives, look unto him who is the author and finisher of your faith. God bless.